in the house of the Lord? Amen. Let's stand and sing that song.
He knows my name.
And I have a maker, and he formed my heart, and before even time began, my life was in his hand, and he knows my name.
I'll bring you more than a song.
song, I'm amazed that you love me, amen. Amen.
And I'm amazed that you love me. And I'm amazed how you came through your precious blood. I found pardon. Oh, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. I'm amazed. I'm amazed that you love me. Yes, Lord. I'm amazed how you came. Your precious blood, I found pardon.
Jesus, Lord, we love you, God. Lord, we're thankful to come into your presence again, Lord Jesus. Lord, gathered one together, Lord, as a body of Christ, God. Lord, as our brother taught this morning, Lord Jesus, Lord, we're to come to church, Lord, and to come expecting, God, Lord, and Lord, to bring, Lord, all the Holy Ghost within us, Lord, with us, Lord Jesus. Lord, all positive feelings, God, all praises and all worships, Lord Jesus, Lord, we can give you our entire being, God, Lord Jesus, Lord, and walk out here changed, even closer to your image, God, Lord Jesus, Lord, and ready to testify and to give testimony, Lord Jesus, Lord, to anyone that come upon our path, God, Lord Jesus, Lord, to preach the gospel, Lord, or to teach it in season, out of season, God, Lord, reprove or rebuke, Lord Jesus, God, Lord, just may it anoint us, God, Lord, for that today, God, Lord, that when we leave here this morning, Lord Jesus, Lord, that we would be able to, Lord, display and to live the gospel, Lord, to live this Bible, Lord, the way you'd have us to live it, God, Lord Jesus, Lord, to be real lovers of Christ, God, Lord, lovers of men, Lord Jesus, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, be with our pastor, God, as he brings this word. And Lord, be with our brother Dave, Lord, as he's out, God, Lord, pursuing, Lord, finding his other half there, Lord, and be with him, God, Lord, lead him, Lord. And Lord Jesus, Lord, we're looking forward to that day, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, Lord, just bless this service, Lord. Bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. We love you so much, Lord. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that song, God is Good, all the time. Amen.
God is good.
worthy of our praise. Amen? Amen. Let's sing that song, Ain't It Grand to Be a Christian? Ain't It Grand? Amen. Well, ain't it grand to be a Christian? song as the brother came to prepare himself. Sing the song, 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul. G. Amen. Let's sing the song.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Worship his holy name. And sing like never.
That last verse.
And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, soon my strength.
worship His holy name. Oh, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship His holy name. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, oh, my soul. Here to bless You, Lord, I worship His holy name. Oh, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship His holy name. And I will worship His holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Good to be a child of the King. Amen. You may be seated just for a moment by the grace of God. God is good to us. Amen. Certainly good to see Sister Clara here this morning. Amen. I've been a backslidden friend to her and I haven't been by. She's a real Christian though. She still comes out to the house of God. Amen. So Lord bless her this morning. Amen. I'm going to try to sing a song by the grace of God, and then perhaps we'll get into the Word after that. The devil's fought me hard coming up to this sermon, so I don't know what God's trying to do, but I know one thing: when the devil gets to a place where he's exposed, he just really causes a big ruckus, doesn't he? Amen? But anyway, I want to sing this song. It says the chord's A flat. I don't know about that, but... I've been changed. I've been reborn. Amen. I've been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from the creature that I once was, and redeemed is now my name. Oh, I've been changed, hallelujah, I've been reborn. Oh, all my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. Though my sins were scarlet, they're white as snow. I was bound, but today I am free. Oh, I was lost in the darkness, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I've been changed. Oh, I've been reborn. Oh, my life has been rearranged. So what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. When at last in His presence I stand above, He will wipe every tear from my eyes. And I'll thank Him for giving a wretch like me a new home beyond the sky. For I've been changed. Oh, I've been reborn. Oh, yes, all my life has been. It makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. I've been to the water. Oh, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I've been changed from the creature that I was. Oh, I like this. And redeemed
is now my name. Oh, I've been changed. Oh, I've been reborn. Oh, yes. All my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. I've been changed. I've been changed. Oh, yeah. Oh, I've been reborn. Oh, all my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. Amen.
Amen. Have you been changed? Been reborn? Amen. You know, my favorite part every time I hear it is, and redeemed is now my name. Woo! Woo! It's like the deepest revelation slapping me right in the face and saying, here I am. I go, oh, glory to God. Amen. Let me check the time here. Let's just go ahead and get into the Word now. If you'd like to stand, those who are able, for the reading of the Word this morning. Amen. How many could say today that, boy, it's been a good week. The devil sure put a couple punches on me. I'd just like to put a couple punches back on him. Well, that's what's nice when you come to the house of God together. You have an opportunity just to lay a real smack on him, right? You get to really treat him like what he is to you. Just think, you've been given an adversary that you've been given complete dominion over. Amen? You think about that? That's like a bully up in a schoolyard. And the competition can't even stand with him. So he does whatever he wants. Whenever he wants to do it. So anytime an adversary would come against him, he said, "Well, I'm stronger. I've got something greater." And the enemy has nothing to stand on. Oh, come on. Is the devil giving you a black eye this morning? Praise God. What do you think I'm trying to say? And redeemed is now my name. I might just change my sermon and preach on that. Boy, I know what to sing when I sing on redemption. I got to figure it out. All right, by the grace of God, we'd like to open our Bibles up to a few places of Scripture this morning. I pray you've come in expectation. We had a wonderful time on Wednesday night. And what it is it's just exposing the devil for who he is. Amen? Amen? We're at a place we want a living God. We want God on the scene, right? So now let's go in our Bibles if we could. Let's go to Matthew 16. I love focusing on this portion of Scripture just because it is our identity. Amen? So Matthew 16, we're going to read the 17th verse. After that, we're going to go to Hebrews 3:14 and then Proverbs 3:26 after that. We should have this memorized by now. Anytime anybody says Matthew 16:16, you should say, I know what that is. But Matthew 16:17, it says, "And John answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church," the rock of revelation, we understand that is, "and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Can't prevail. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Amen. Now let's go to Hebrews 3:14. find this to be a very interesting scripture here. As pretty much, you can pretty much say all of them are when you, at the end of the day, when God adds a revelation to what it's saying. But in Hebrews 3:14, it says here, "For we are made partakers of Christ." If we hold the beginning, the end? If we hold the middle? It says you're a partaker if you hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So how are you a partaker? If you hold the same confidence in God that He gave you right at the beginning. Wait a minute, I thought we were maturing as Christians. Well, to a sense you are. But one thing for certain, you're not changing your confidence. Lastly, Proverbs 3:26. Now, I have a lot to preach here. I'm going to try to do it real quick. You know how successful I am at that. But remember, on Wednesday night, it just seemed like service was just a minute. If you enter into the Word the same way, you'll have the same result. Praise God. This is good to me. Proverbs 3:26 says, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." So now we get to the end of our scriptural readings, and we say, God is my confidence.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Praise God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love You this morning, God, and Lord, we just want to give You ourselves, Lord. And Lord, as we come to the understanding of what to preach this morning, God, I pray, Lord, that You'd anoint this, God. And Lord, may it go forth into the children of Zion's hearts, Lord God. As Lord, we heard the wonderful songs that were sung, Lord God, as we entered into that, God. And Lord, I pray as we even are entering into this prayer, God, that we would have 10,000 reasons, God, to sing Your praise, God. 10,000 reasons, God, why we can exalt You all day, Lord God. We should have 10,000 reasons, God. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would find 10,000 reasons why we want to hear the Word of God this morning. Why we want to be happy this morning. Why we want to be in Your kingdom with You forever, God. Lord, let us have this type of expectation going into the Word this morning, Lord. And God, it's Sunday morning, God. A lot of us maybe just woke up a little bit late, God. We're a little bit grumbly, so to say, God. But Lord, by the grace of God, we just ask, God, that Lord, You'd be our caffeine this morning, God. Lord, wake us up, Lord, into the Word, God. And Lord, let us enjoy ourselves in the house of God. And Lord, You heard, O God, and anyone who would even listen to the sermon on Wednesday, O God, would hear, O God. Lord, we're tired of Satan taking away good services from us, God. Lord, every time we enter the house of God, we should have a good service, Lord. It shouldn't depend on a morning service or a night service or any of those types of services. So we just want to take our ability, our authority as Christians right now. And we would like to tell the devil now, Satan, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. You are a liar. You have no right to hold back this service. You have no right to tell the children of God they're tired and they don't need expectation. You're a liar, Satan. We bind you, and Lord, we just pray You'd replace it, Lord, with Your Holy Ghost instilled, O God, confidence this morning, God. And Lord, we just ask, God, You'd have Your way, Lord, now, as we just continue on into this blessed time of fellowship we have one with another. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride said together, Amen. You may be seated. Got a little exposing to do this morning. I pray that'll be all right. Feeling pretty good this morning. Amen. The devil fought me all night long, but I feel great. Amen. But by the grace of God, if we had a title for this morning's sermon, We would like to entitle it, and like I said, this is a story with it's got a plot, it's got everything right in between it. There's a lot going on here. Okay, but I want you just to stay with me, and the main reason why we're doing this is because we want to see the church grow. Amen. Maybe not, like say, we want to see it grow in numbers, of course, but I want to see you grow, amen? I want to see you victorious. I want to see me victorious, amen? So I believe God has inspired this for that, none other than that purpose. If we had a subtopic this morning, remember our title is Perfect Confidence. If we had a subtopic or a topic, so to say, of interest, we'd like to call it Holy Ghost Instilled Confidence, amen? Praise God. So, there we go. I see a lot of people going like this. Devil guy really got some black eyes, huh? You might be wanting to stand up all service. I get my victories when I'm up here fighting. So I'd like to start out this morning by, remember we're talking about perfect confidence. I'd like to start out by defining that word and really just giving you an overview of what that word means. And one aspect, that you can almost look at it like it's faith, but it has a little bit more emphasis to it. The word confidence actually means a trusting or reliance, an assurance of mind or firm belief in the integrity, stability, or veracity of another. Or in the truth and reality of a fact. Okay? So if you have confidence, you have a trust, you have, so to say, a reliance that someone else is trustworthy. Right? That someone else, they have a stability or an integrity or a veracity, and they have a power to them. And that is something you can place what we call confidence on. Amen? So it kind of is faith, but yet in a way it's got a little different to it. And that's why you look in the English dictionary, you find so many words that would almost seem to be the same, but yet there's just a little difference in it. So this morning we'd like to talk about a perfect confidence. Or a perfect reliance on someone that's higher, stronger, has a greater firepower than what you have. Amen. And if you can notice where we're going with this, is to show you that you have to be standing with a perfect confidence in your walk with God. Amen. So notice what God would tell Peter, Jesus would say to Peter, if you have this revelation, the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. So obviously, beginning to look at that, we find that if you would have this type of revelation, it would give you confidence. It would show you who you are. Now, I'm going to start in a different way than where you may think I'm going at right now. But yet, I want to start out by showing you my inspiration for this, okay? I want to go to a quotation in What Doest Thou Here in 59. It says here in E19, it says, and it's very strange, pastor here knows and other ministers, watch after your Mount Carmels. You're going to have a juniper tree. Whenever a man has a blessing and the power of God pours down and does something for you, look out. Satan's on the track. Just remember the next day, that Monday after a good day on Sunday, it's going to be a hard thing. Because, this is what I want to focus on, because he's going to do everything he can to knock that confidence out of you that the Holy Spirit instilled in you the day before. Now we can stop right there for time's sake. But I want us to understand this morning is that we read in the scriptures in Hebrews 3:14 that when you come to Christ, You are given a confidence. Amen. And the scripture would be so clear to say that if you hold the confidence you received at the beginning to the end, then you'll be a partaker of Christ. Amen. So when you first come to God, you had something about you that what? There's a strength over you, a power over you. Amen. And though you should mature, we realize that the confidence or the reliance that you have on Christ should not change from that point. But I like to say what Paul said here. He didn't say that your confidence would be 100 times greater with maturity, but he said you'd have the same confidence. Because remember, the confidence you received there was what? It was enough to birth you into the kingdom. When you receive that Holy Ghost, it birthed you into the kingdom. But along the pathway, you'll find that God and the devil will constantly be going back and forth trying to what? God trying to instill a Holy Ghost confidence in you. But then we find out that every time God does something, that the Holy Ghost will turn back around and actually try to strip you of the confidence that God is trying to instill in you. So you're on a constant journey in Christianity of ups and downs. Amen. You are made to stay up because why? Because the Holy Ghost is constantly trying to instill confidence that the Holy Ghost is real, that the Holy Ghost has power, that the Holy Ghost has life, that He is everything you need. You don't need to be sad. You don't need to worry because God has an expected end for your journey. And what? Within that journey, He has provided that He was with you all the way. Now, if you can see what we're saying here, we find that the devil, every time God tries to do something in you, it's to actually, because think about it, when you first become a Christian, you weren't too afraid to let that fire shine. But when you become more mature, you see the fingers putting that in quotes, because that's not my statement, but that is what their statement is. But when you find yourself becoming more mature, you don't act the same way you did at the beginning. You're actually just maturing, so you're actually looking a lot different, so they say. But what we want to understand is, notice the reliance that you had on God or the confidence that you placed on God when He first started the work in your life. You didn't wonder if God was real because something quickened inside of you. Right? It wasn't a service. Let's say it like this. When the Holy Ghost come down to service, whether He come down or not, you would know that God was real. Whether as a jumper or a shouter, you were at the beginning of your walk, you had confidence that what you were doing was right. You really believed. You really had a strong strength about you. You really had a power going, right? We talk about this here and there because you understand that a lot of people, and notice I like to say this all the time too, is that what the church always needs is new life. Because when new life comes into the church and new life, like I said, new life, when it catches the revelation you got, you can look right back at the way you're supposed to be. A lot of times, people look at those young Christians that are on fire for God, and they say, oh, I wish I was like that. Or you feel a little envy rising up in you. Oh, I want that. Right. Well, what's that showing? That's showing that you've actually moved from the first confidence that you had in God, and you've actually fell from that place. Because that type of confidence, I like it how the Strong's defines confidence. It actually defines it as boldness. Acts. Kind of sounds like what we were preaching on Wednesday. But there's actually what? There's an authority behind that. And you can't have authority without confidence, right? Because authority, when it's moved from another man, it must come from a reliance upon that man. Amen. Now, so in moving to our next little thought here, we find that it's always what? The Holy Ghost instilling, and He's wanting you to stay up there. That's why He does it. But yet, we find that even in Elijah's case, it took one statement from a woman in 1 Kings 19:2. And we see that Elijah was off running. I think that scripture is right. We'll see. But anyway, we find that what? That literally, there he was, and God instilled a confidence in him. Think about it. God just allowed the fire to fall on a drenched altar full of water and burn a sacrifice. Amen. Supernatural that had perhaps never been seen on that level in that day. But yet, we find the next day a woman threatens him. So what? Literally, God instills a confidence in Elijah. But then the devil turns right back around and comes in and tries to destroy the confidence that God lays in you. Amen. Wednesday night, you should have had a Holy Ghost instilled confidence in you. About what? That the Word is right. That you can lean on that Word. That Word will not fail you. Today, what should you get? Well, the Holy Ghost is trying to instill confidence in you. Amen. Now, I know we all miss Brother Dave, but he'll be back. I know you're all sad about that. Now, I want to take this to the next step, because remember, as God instills, Satan tries to take out. Okay? Now, I want to go to another quotation. I'm going to read a couple of those, and then I'm going to get moving on my subject here. We find in... Let's start right here. Let's start out in the Revelation chapter 5, 61, brother. Paragraph 74. It says, I think it's come to that time, to a time that when we've got to know how we stand. Okay? How can you do anything unless you've got faith in what you're doing? You've got to have faith. And that's my purpose of doing this with the church here, is to give the believers faith and confidence in what they are standing for. Because it is the Word of the Lord. Amen. So the whole emphasis in preaching is to establish what is coming forth is grounded in the Word. Amen. Now this gets better. He says, then, as long as through the Scriptures, it's sovereignly placed from Genesis into Revelation, back and forth and up and down, not a way for the devil to move in there anywhere, then you've got perfect confidence. So how do I get perfect confidence? Do I get perfect confidence in a quotation? This quotation gave me confidence. That's not where we get our perfect confidence from. We get our perfect confidence from the Word of God. Amen. And if the Word of God says that it's right, and we can watch that Word move, Genesis to Revelation, and go everywhere and say the same thing, then what? You're actually taking away the strength of Satan to what? To knock you off where you're standing. What do you think this rapture is? You finally get to a place that you know where you're standing. Okay? Now, notice what he calls it. He calls it perfect confidence. And remember, when you see the Word revealed, the Word tying in, it's starting to show you that the word is right. Let's go one more. In the Revelation of Jesus Christ Church Age book, chapter 1, 14, 4, we love these portions now, don't we? It says, have you ever noticed how Satan hates two books of the Bible more than all others? Through liberal theologians and pseudoscientists, he is always attacking the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation. In both of these books, we find Satan's origin, his awful ways, and his destruction. Amen. That is why he attacks them. He hates to be exposed. And in those books, he is exposed for exactly what he is. Jesus said about Satan, he has no part in me, and I have no part in him. The devil would like to prove that different. So it is the devil's desire that he could change the fact that he has no redemption. But he has committed the unpardonable sin. Plus, he's got the wrong revelation. So now, notice this. The devil would like to prove that different, but he cannot. So he does all he can to destroy confidence in the Word, reliance in the Word. But when the church disbelieves Satan, so wait a minute. In order, I know this is really hard, but in order to believe the Word, you have to disbelieve Satan. Well, wait a minute. Well, I just read the Word. Whoa. Well, don't you realize that Satan is in there trying to muddle up your interpretation? That Satan is trying to destroy the revelation from the pulpit? That it's always Satan's desire to try to contain you? Because he knows that if you have a grasp of the Word, he is no match for you as well. So let's continue on here. It says, but when the church disbelieves Satan and believes the Spirit's revelation of the Word, the gates of hell cannot prevail against her. Okay? So when you get to a place that when God's Word says that Satan's gates cannot prevail against you, and you actually believe that. You actually believe that. Satan is no match for you. His word says that. So if you have confidence in that, you rely on that. Don't you see the difference? You can hear the word. You can say you believe the word. But if you do not rely on that word, if you don't rely on it, it can't do anything for you. God is a healer. Okay? Well, if you rely more on medicine than God, then that God will never become a healer to you. Well, why? Because you're relying more on science than you are on God. Wouldn't you like to see a God who's a greater healer than what he is? He's the greatest healer ever. But the only thing that stops him from being a greater healer is you and I. We stop that. Praise God. Praise God, it's me, God. Not having confidence in your word. It's me, God. Now, notice, so we find out that it's Satan's desire to destroy your confidence in the Word. So what? It never has changed since the book has been written. What? He has constantly been on the rampage to try to destroy your confidence in the Word of God. Now, let's start now. Daniel 10:13. I'm going to try to move now. Says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia,
withstood me 121 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days.
Right.
So what? Daniel prayed for revelation. And God was sending that revelation, but it was Satan's whole desire to what? Take away that revelation. I'm just showing you in the scripture, that is his plan, to take away the revelation that gives you confidence that you can rely on this word. Now I find this rather interesting. In Matthew 4, verse 1, it says here, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So the devil was tempting him. Notice, second verse. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Now, I'm going to stop right there, because remember what Satan does. He says, is it written? Is it not written? Is it not written? And his desire is what? His desire was to what? Destroy the revelation, even to the Word himself. He was trying to break the confidence of Jesus Christ, even though he knew he was the Word. Well, why? Because he knew that the temptation of flesh was that great upon even a seed of God. Because remember, Jesus Christ, the Word, he was the seed of God. So now, when Satan would come to fight you, he'll come in the same way. He'll be attacking the seed. But he won't come and just bring most likely worldly temptations. He'll come after the Word to try to give you an interpretation that does not line up with the Word. Now remember what this is. He was actually trying to tempt Jesus, the Word, to make the Word show something. Or to what? To make it work for Jesus. But we know, according to the scriptures, it was not the will of God that his hunger would receive immediate cure. You see the difference? Jesus knew the will. And Satan comes and said, okay, make these stones in the bread. Jesus said, I can do that. And just do it. But it was a temptation. He was trying to what? To bring a false moving of the Word upon Jesus. That was not the correct moving of the Word. The correct moving of the Word was not to clown for Satan, but the correct standing of the Word was to what? In every attempt, at every move by the devil to try to destroy it, to come back with the Word. Praise God. So notice what Satan, he is that blinded in his mind that he'll even try to destroy the Word himself, confidence in himself. So you see why this becomes important very quickly, is because if he's willing to try to make the Word doubt itself, then why wouldn't he try to make the Word doubt the Word?
Amen. Come on.
Yes, I'm talking about the little W's. The little G's. You see his plan? You see what he's trying to do? Now, I want us to see now as we begin to move, maybe take this subject a little farther. I want you to see his desire, what Satan's purpose is. Because remember, now we've established, okay, he's trying to destroy a confidence in the Word. Okay? So he tries to get Jesus this way, and we find out it's not very successful at all, is it? Jesus says, I'm batting 1,000 right now. Every one, I'm hitting real good. So, notice Satan then has to move into his offspring. Let's read another quotation, brother. Taking sides with Jesus, 62, 779, 173. Now, here we are with Jesus and the woman bringing the alabaster box to him. And I want you to see what this is. This is some real exposing we're doing here of the devil. And I love it because this is completely scriptural and it's tremendously scriptural. But yet we find here it says, we find again that they tried to blight his name. They're trying to mar the name of Jesus Christ. It says, just for a little bit, and I've got to skip over some things here. So one time there was a Pharisee, I preached on it here some time ago, washing Jesus' feet. I believe you all heard me preach on that here. When a Pharisee asked Jesus to come down to his house, a big old stiff starched Pharisee, and asked him to come. And you know, I gave it a little drama how that the courier came and found him and he came on down, yet he knowed he was hated, yet he went anyhow. So we find out that he didn't wash his feet. But notice here, of course, a prostitute walks in the room, and I'm going to jump down, brother, towards the end of that paragraph. And it says, and he even claims to be the Messiah. We know Messiah will be a prophet, and here he is sitting back there. You see where we've brought him. Look at there, boy. We've got him fixed now. There he is sitting back there, stooped down, like a whipped out puppy or something back there. And some prostitute of his own class would come around and wash his feet like that. And now he don't even know if he was a prophet, he'd know what kind of a woman that was. Now boys, we'll drink on this one, he said, because look there. So notice the Pharisee invites him down to the house. But the whole purpose that he invites him down to the house is to look for a fault with that word. Or he's trying to blight his name. Wait a minute. What are we trying to say? Well, remember, Satan is trying to destroy confidence in the word. So what is he doing? Now he's anointing some Pharisees to try to find a fault with this word. What's he doing? He's trying what? He has tried by the word to defeat them, but it will not work. So now he's trying to find something else. So now God, in his own plan, anoints a prostitute to come and wash his feet. And the Pharisees say, oh, look at this. We got him now. Let's continue on. Paragraph 175 below it, brother. It says, see, anything to blight his name. Anything to ruin the confidence of the people, not knowing that they were possessed of the devil to do that. So why were they looking for a fault in his life? They were trying to destroy confidence in the word. Oh, we're getting quiet now. They were working in harmony with the devil, trying to blacken the name of the Son of God. Now notice, this is what I like about this. I like all that, but it says, how did they do this, brethren? Because they never searched the scriptures. Jesus said, search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. Oh, what a ministry he had. Yes, sir. If I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But here. So notice, all they had to do to gain confidence in this word was to look at the identification of the word itself from Genesis to Revelation. I know Revelation wasn't written yet, but it was. They had the word there themselves. And yet we see that what? They were anointed of the devil to try to find something to destroy the confidence that they had on this Jesus. Why? Because if you destroy the faith in the Word, it makes it a powerless word. Hallelujah! So what? If you destroy the effects of Satan's dismantling of the Word in your life, then you will stand in power of the Holy Ghost this morning. But if you stand here and you don't have confidence in the Word, then what? Then you will have a powerless religion. Now, I want us to go through this scripturally just a little bit so I can show you how Satan tries to destroy confidence in the Word. Matthew 11:18, it says here, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil." So notice, even Jesus hears, yep, John come like this and they still call him a devil. Right. So what? So Satan's children were identifying God's children as the devil. Why? They are trying to destroy the influence of that word because they knew if the people believed it, it would produce God. And the seed of devil, of the devil, did not want them to produce the life of God. I'm bringing it home for you here. Now notice this, 19 verse. "The Son of Man came eating and drinking," and they say. Now they're saying again. They're still talking. Notice. "Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners." And Jesus says, "But wisdom is justified of her children." Amen. But notice here the influence that they're trying to put off on the Word to destroy the confidence of it. They have no proof that Jesus is a glutton. Amen. But they call him a glutton anyway. Right. They have no proof that he's a wine bibber. Right. But they call him a wine bibber. Right. They call him a friend of publicans and sinners. And Jesus says, in the Word, the common people received him gladly. Got me? But what? They were looking at a social caste. What? That was trying to put it down. Because what? Religion wanted power. And notice, Satan loves a powerless religion. I'm just showing you in the scriptures here. So notice, Satan goes from trying to destroy the interpretation of the Word in it, the Word itself. And now he's trying to destroy the confidence of the people in the Word everywhere. Well, think about that. So when Jesus would come into Capernaum or wherever he would come to, he'd walk in. And half the people had already heard what the Jews said. And they said, yep, he's a wine bibber. I'm going back in my house. So it was said to destroy the confidence that they had in the Word. Now, let's continue on. Mark 2:16 says here, "And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?" Wait a minute. Notice. They see him eating with publicans and sinners. So what do they try to do? They don't go to him. They actually go to his disciples to try to destroy the confidence that they have in the Word. Now notice. But it says in the 17th verse, when Jesus heard it, it doesn't say they answered him. It doesn't say they had an ability. Remember, these were scholars of the scholars. They had the disciples. But when Jesus heard it, He saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So you see that? They're trying every way they can to destroy the confidence of this word. Right behind Jesus' back, they attack. Amen. Thank God the Word can hear. Amen. And the Word will protect its own. Amen. Amen. Right. Now, let's move again. Let's go to John 8, verse 2. This is very commonplace. I'm not going to go through all these. I might just do one more, maybe this one. John 8, 2, it says, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. So Jesus goes to the temple, and he starts teaching, and the scripture says all the people come to him. Everybody. Now look at this. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. So notice here, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, and they break in the middle of his sermon. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, what is church order in this church? Amen. If someone comes in and tries to disrupt the word going forth, the deacons of the church should run that individual out. Because it is time for the Word to have His preeminence. But notice here, these religious minded, they run right into the service and try to destroy what? The confidence of the sermon that He's even preaching. Now remember, what makes this very interesting is the fact that it says, and all the people were there. Now, why were they doing this? They were tempting him. They were trying to find fault with the word. Now notice, says here, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commandeth us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? What are you going to say about this? See? They're tempting him. You see, if it would have been someone less than the Word, they would have got him. But because it was the Word, they couldn't get him. Hallelujah. Well, that's where this comes into play. We're going there. Notice, we see again, if we'd like to go into the Bibles now, Matthew 27, 20 says, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should take Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So now notice, the chief priests and the elders, they persuade the multitude against him. Right. Trying to destroy the confidence of the word, and finally they do it. But they don't understand that they're only doing it to fulfill God's plan. Now, one more. John 12, 9. And we're going to move on. Got a little Bible study going here, huh? John 12, 9, it says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But notice, the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. So not only did they want to destroy the Word, but they wanted to destroy the very evidence that the Word produces. Hallelujah! If you have the Word, church, a reliance, a confidence in that Word, then that Word will stand. But don't you think that the devil will try to destroy your healing? He'll try to destroy your deliverance. He will do everything in his power to destroy your confidence in the workings of the Word himself. Don't you see it? When God does something for you, you never give the devil a hold. Because God did that for you. Wait a minute. How does it go from being a revelation that God did something to being a revelation that, yeah, it just didn't last? Same thing. The devil come in and destroyed your confidence in the Word. Because what you don't understand, the unwritten Word has every testimony of your life in it. The Bible days aren't over. But the plan is what? The plan has not been written in the book. Okay, Brother Freddie's going to get saved this day. Brother Freddie's going to get healed that day. And da da da. No, that is in what? The Word itself. It's coming forth out of the seed. It's an unfolding of God Himself within you. And when you allow the devil to come and say, yep, that really wasn't real. Or, yeah, you see, but you know, you're not a very good Christian, so you lost that. He actually is literally reasoning to destroy the existence of the miracle in your life. Why do you think that he goes after the testimony first? Because if he gets the testimony, he can eventually move to your salvation and then make you doubt that, and then you'll be lost. If we hold confidence. Hallelujah. I know what God brought me out of. There ain't a devil in hell that can reason against that. Oh, don't worry. Monday morning's going to come. And everything the Holy Ghost tries to set in you, expose the devil in your life, Satan's going to come right after service and start working you. But wait, there was no shouting today. There was no anointing. I didn't feel a thing. Well, yes, there was an anointing. Yes, there was a God there. You just didn't feel Him or recognize Him. But if you would have got into the zone, He would have been there. But notice, God's there with an anointing you feel, and God's there with an anointing you don't. He is God. How do you know God is there? When the Word comes forth and lays an establishment of a revelation in your life, and you can grab that revelation and gain a foothold on the devil. You say, oh, Brother Cam, if we could just have the Holy Ghost drop at the end of the service. I would rather have a confidence instilled in the Word of God this morning, that you will walk out of here victorious. And every time the devil comes after you, after you leave this place, you stand and say, I heard the Word. Yeah. Satan comes attacking you again. You say, oh devil, I heard it right out of the Word this morning. Because what? It's God instilling something in you. What do you think this is about? He's trying to give you a revelation today. Why are we here? He's trying to reveal something to you. And if it is revealed, you'll be able to walk away and say, I've got it. But if you walk away and say, I've got it, and then the devil comes by and says, no, you don't. He allows your humanity to show up a little bit on the scene. Huh, brother? Not very good at that, huh? He'll allow your humanity to rise up and stand up and say, see, you don't have it. See, you don't got it. Well, wait a minute. When do you lean upon the humanity more than the Word? Your confidence is not in flesh. Remember, the Scripture said in Proverbs, it says the Lord is our confidence. You have one confidence. It is the Word of God. Unadulterated. The Word that goes from Genesis to Revelation. I love the Word of God. So you see what I'm saying? Starting to make some sense? I know. Trail of the Serpent, part 46. Should be about the time that we actually caught up to that trail, huh? We got to the front of that trail and stopped him, huh? He's going to have a trail until you stop him. Praise God. So now, there's plenty more scriptures there, but I will move on. I want you to see that, remember, you losing confidence in the Word makes your religion powerless. Okay? You agree? Okay, you ready for the next one? Let's read another quote. How the angel came to me in 53. Says, I got a brother that's tall and thin, blonde-headed, pug nose, fair skin. He don't look like me. We don't act alike. You never know that we are brothers, but his daddy is my daddy. And if the family accepted him looking the way he did, accepted me looking the way I did, then we accept one another to be brothers. That's right. So that's the way we have to do it in this Christian realm. We have to believe, have faith in one another. Now notice this. When the Christians lose faith in one another, the devil's got the church right then. That's right. We've got to have faith and confidence in one another. Bear with one another. Okay? So what's that saying? Okay? You've got to have confidence in the Word. I can get that out of that. Well, if you know who the Word is, you would. Why do you think the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 11? It says that many are weak and sickly, not discerning the Lord's body. Well, who's the Lord's body? You. Me. Now I want to take this just a little bit farther. One more quote, brother, and then we're going to jump into the Word again. He that is in you, 63, says, here not long ago, many know the vision that was given to Brother Roy, even before I went out there, about him seeing me standing up on that mountain there in that light, and a voice coming from me that took all doubt from Brother Roy. Brother Roy had a revelation. That was God. The other night, he was stricken in such a place until he was so sick, got so high in fever and stuff, and the doctor had given medicine, everything, and then it didn't do no good. And he even become to a place till he couldn't even move himself anymore. His legs and things, he was paralyzed. And the poor little brother has been shot to pieces. Shrapnel, 88, German 88. He said, and I think all of his whole crew was killed but him. And there was blowed to pieces. And you know what happened? I told his noble wife, Sister Robeson. She said, I said, got anything there? She said, I got a handkerchief you once prayed over. Go get it. So, notice the man's laying there dying. Can't even move. And all of a sudden he gets revelation. He says, do you have anything there? She says, I got a prayer cloth that you once prayed over. He says, go get it. And I was in Tucson and laid her hand upon that and prayed and rebuked and said, Sister Robeson, it's going to be gone. Just something told me there, it's going to be gone. Say it. And within a half hour, the fever was gone. He was in the kitchen hunting something to eat. See? See? Now here's where it twists on you. What I'm trying to say, don't never lose your confidence. Don't let Satan tell you evil about me. Getting all that out of this? Because there's much. Uh-oh, ooh. Don't let Satan tell you evil about me, because there's plenty of that there. Don't let the devil take your confidence from me. Okay. I'm gonna be big name preacher now. Tell your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Say, don't let the devil lose confidence. Make you lose confidence in me. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Somebody's looking at the wall. Don't look at the wall. People ain't looking at you. All right. We got the juices flowing again. Larry. So don't let the devil make you lose confidence in you, in me. Well, you realize what this is. Notice, cause if you don't, it won't happen. Don't look at me as a man. I'm a man. I'm full of mistakes. But look to what I'm saying about him. It's him. He is the one. The prophet was not the confidence. He said, look at what I'm saying. If what I'm saying is coming back to the word, don't lose confidence of that. But notice this situation. We find he's not there. We find that what? That all she has is a prayer cloth. And the man's on his deathbed. Can't even move. On the phone, says, go get a prayer cloth. Put it on him. Well, come on.
Right.
Some of you people, that you want somebody to come running for you all the time. This is the type of confidence you have that the word of God is coming from someone. Because you realize you're now not looking at a man, but you're looking at God in a man. Ooh, glory. And not just a man, but a man full of mistakes. Got plenty of faults. Anyone amen that? Got plenty of mistakes in my life. Amen. I ate some pawpaws yesterday. That was a big mistake in my life. Now notice, coming on, we find, notice what was the difference. We see that when the Pharisees attempted to destroy confidence in the disciples, Jesus stepped in and stood with them. But notice, it was God's plan that he would put the word in you. So now, we find in the New Testament, we find if we'd go to Acts 13:43, trying to get you to build confidence in one another, but I want you to see the devil's trick. We see in Acts 13:43, it says, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So now notice, Satan's bringing the same tricks that he placed on Jesus. Now he's doing the same thing to God's Holy Ghost filled children. Don't you see it? He attacks the word And now the Word fills man, and we see him attacking the Word again. And what is the plan? The same plan it's always been. Contradicting. Blaspheming. Right? So, we find in the 46th verse, says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. Their confidence in God is really high. They realize they have an authority. You realize this. I want you to picture this. Here they are with everyone coming there. They're preaching. And once again we find that the Jews with envy come and they contradict everything they're going to say. They blaspheme against it. The Holy Ghost isn't real. The Holy Ghost is the devil. They're saying these sacrilegious things. With everybody there. Everybody. It's hard for us to do it with one person. See what type of Holy Ghost I'm talking about? You talk about what kind of boldness we need to have instilled in our life. They wax bold. Because what? They have a confidence in God. So he says, it was necessary that the word of God should have first been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Boldly. Oh, by the way, this was for you. But you rejected it. Your blood be upon your own head. Wait a minute. They had this much confidence in God. This much of a word presence within their own life. They could say, your blood is on your own head now. Right. What told them to stop preaching to them? Amen. What gave them confidence to go ahead and speak that? Amen. Well, come on. We look, we say, I don't want to say anything mean, or I don't want to say anything bad, or I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. And the Word said, oh yeah, by the way, you had your chance. Right. Your blood's on your own head now. Right. And all that contradicting, blaspheming. Sorry about that too. Looks like you're going to face judgment for it.
Right. Come on. Right.
This is what we're talking about. But notice, even though the Word was in an attempted assassination, the Word would not hold its peace. Where there was believers that had a reliance, a confidence in the Word. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. You know what? Something inside of me tells me this is the kind of God I want. Wait a minute. You want the type of God that's going to have everybody calling you the devil? The type of God that pronounces third pole on people? That's the third pole. You said your blood's on your own head. It's over. Hallelujah! Oh, third pole bride. It won't be used in a great way till the council tightens up. This is the type of God I want. Why? You want to be a, well, you want to be a jerk? No. I just want the Word to speak. Boy, you guys are really bold. Look at you. Look at them bold amens this morning. The devil already reasoning up in your mind or what? Because he does. He'll come in the middle of the sermon. He's got such a hand on it right now. He's like, boy, I got him up in Laodicea now. He's sitting up there coming in service saying, yeah, you don't need amen. Yeah, you just go sit there. Don't even enjoy the word. Yeah, you know, Brother Cam, he's full of mistakes. Oh, I got a quote for you, devil. Oh, don't have confidence in your brothers and sisters. Oh, you don't need to do that. And the whole time, the word's sitting here. Keeps on hitting the word. Going after the devil. We say, oh, oh God. What's going on here? Now, continuing. We find Acts 19:8 says, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. So what? They spoke evil against him again. So constantly find in the scripture that they're putting the mouth, so to say, on the word. Lying about it. Trying to destroy its influence. Trying to destroy the people's confidence. Don't you realize that Satan's main trick we find in the word is constantly trying to make the people reason by speaking against that word. Hallelujah. Sunday morning. Hey, the juniper morning's Monday morning, church. We already read that quote. You're up on top of your mountain right now. Boy, I'll tell you what, I feel sorry for all you. If this is the best you're going to get and tomorrow you got to go down. Ooh. Come on. I'm filled with a room with Pentecostals. I am. Whether you believe it or not, I'm with people that can rejoice. I'm with people that say amen. I'm with people that what? That say amen to that word. They believe that word. They stand by that word. They're not afraid of the devil. They will take the devil at the revelation of the word every time. I'm talking about who you are. You've got to know where you're standing. You realize I got my camo on today. This is godly camo. We come to fight this morning. Isn't that what you want to do? Expose Satan for what he does to your life, so you can get the power back. What gives you the power back? The revelation does. The revelation gives you the power. Now, very quickly, Acts 13:6. It says, and when they had gone through the Isle of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew named Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so was his name by interpreting, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Withstood them. Standing against them. I don't need to go through all these examples. But I want to clarify it in your mind so you don't have a shadow of a doubt. He's trying to destroy the confidence of the word. So what is it? Don't you realize that's what this is? This is constantly. It is constantly Satan trying to destroy the confidence of the word in you. Then he tries to destroy the confidence you have in the Word. And if he can get you to destroy that confidence that you have that somebody's a man of God or a woman of God, he's got you. Now, I got plenty more scriptures, but I'm gonna stop on that, okay? I want to show you this. Remember Paul, he comes out and just flat out rebukes the church in 1 Corinthians. I mean, he's just destroying them. Then we find out that in 2 Corinthians, he actually says confidence quite a bit. And in 2 Corinthians 7:13, he says, "Therefore we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For I have boasted anything, if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we speak all things to you in truth, even so much our boasting which I made before Titus is found in truth. And his inward affection is more abundant towards you." Now, he's getting an inward affection towards them. "Whiles he remembered the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you in all things." Wait a minute. Everybody has a psalm. Everybody has a hymn. Shut them women up. Let the women be silent in the church. You no more than 3 people speak in tongues. Shame on you. I hear that there's a man amongst you that married his father's wife. Take him from the blood of Jesus Christ. And then we find out in 2 Corinthians, he comes back around. And he looks. Remember, he said, how you accepted the word. So the confidence that he had in his brother and sister was not founded upon their faults, but it was founded on what they did when they heard the word.
Amen. Lord.
You realize this was unestablished word.
Amen.
They didn't have a book they could take tongues back to in the Old Testament. Didn't have that. Didn't have a lot of room to talk about a man who had married his father's wife. But he writes them, blasts them, and then they receive it, and he says, "I have confidence in you in everything."
Amen.
When you look at your brother and sister today, can you look and say, "I have confidence in you in all things"? Wait a minute. If you can't, then you don't have a confidence in the Word.
Amen. Right.
Well, remember, how can you have confidence in your brother and sister? As you see them obeying the Word.
Right.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, we all got a lot of mistakes, don't we? We all do quirks and weird stuff, and it just looks kind of silly sometimes. But you know what? They tore up Jesus Christ because he didn't wash his hands. And Jesus blasted them back. He said, "With your traditions, you make the word of God of none effect." So they had a tradition that they could literally judge a man as faulty. Lose all confidence in a man just because he didn't wash his hands before he ate. Well, how do you lose confidence in somebody? Well, the fella sure doesn't like this. Sure eats a lot of that, or, you know, they kind of act like that.
But every one of our faults are not the same. Oh, are we quiet? Monday morning. Notice 2 Thessalonians 3:4. It says, "And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you." So where's his confidence at? Not that they're doing wrong things, but when correction comes by, they receive correction. They go with what the Word says. You can have confidence in that type of a person. Philemon 1:20. "Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee." "Knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say." What are you doing? You're showing faith or confidence, a reliance that God has started a good work in your brother or sister. Mm-hmm. So now, let's bring it home. We started out by reading the scripture in Hebrews 3:14, "If we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end." Every one of you was given a confidence, or showed a confidence, when you come to Christ. And we understand that at the end you should have the same confidence that you had at the beginning. This shows that you are a partaker of Christ. You believe the Word. You'll stand by the Word. You'll believe who you are, because that's what the Word says, who you are.
Amen.
Amen. Mm, I love this. This is good to me. I'm eating good. Some of you are saying, "I hope I don't eat pizza today." No. Eat the Word. Amen. You don't want to eat pizza? Notice, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. So you are supposed to hold the same confidence that you had at the beginning all the way through to the end. And if you start lacking, that's just where you find yourself at right now. You find a powerless church. Doesn't look like God answers the prayers very much. We see God doing stuff here and there. We hear a testimony way over here or something like that. But what's the issue? The issue is what? You've either lost confidence in the Word, or you've lost confidence in the Word. I found it so profound the other day. So I was doing my studies. The scripture said that, says, "Lest you let a root of bitterness spring up in you." And that portion of scripture has always been common to me. But I never really caught it the way I caught it. Because it says, "Lest there be a root of bitterness spring up among you, and therefore many becoming defiled." So just one root of bitterness, spring up in the church will cause many to be defiled. Defiled? It loses its power. I ain't pointing fingers, because we need to all point fingers at ourselves. Oh, you ain't acting. Come on. Does this hurt? Is this hard? Or can you look into the Word and say, "This is the rapture. This is the rapture." Because the obedience comes down to the Word. The obedience
It doesn't come down to a deep revelation about something happy. You know, you boast on those things, but yet the simpler things you leave undone. Isn't that what the apostle said? Of judgment. Leave undone. That's what we do. Oh, hallelujah! So now we find ourselves in a place. Okay, God, I want this machine to move. Now, think about this. Ephesians 3:11. It says, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. So this is the type of Jesus Christ that was purposed that you would have boldness and access with confidence. You would be able to rely on Jesus with boldness. Whoa, and access. Access? That means you obtain Him. Do you realize? I hate to do this, but back in the day, they used to have a show called Access Hollywood. And the show was all about getting the insider information about Hollywood. They'd show you all the smut. They'd show you all the garbage. They'd show you that these people are more human and demon-possessed than anything you'd ever believe. I don't know if the show's still on or not, but I know it used to be. I know I used to watch it a long time ago. But their statement of access was actually unveiling all that Hollywood had. It showed you what it was. So if you have boldness and access with Jesus Christ, you are an insider now. You can see what others can't see. You are a partaker of Him. So notice, it says, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. So what is it? You cannot have boldness or access without knowing you have the Holy Ghost. You got to know it. Because it's His faith that you have confidence in. How many have thought about the other day or any time you say, God, I've got your faith. Are you saying that? If you've got the Holy Ghost, you should be saying, I've got God's faith. You have the faith of Him. So how can you say, oh, ye a little faith, that's me. I don't have a lot of faith. I need more faith. You need more faith than God's faith? What's the problem? Satan has destroyed your confidence in the Word so that you don't even know whose faith you're leaning upon. I love the Word of God. I just love it. Now notice here, read a few more and we're going to let you go. 1 John 3, verse 20. It says here, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. It's a good way to, good place to start. If we're condemned, God's greater than that condemnation. Praise God. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Okay, how many of you are condemned this morning? this afternoon? Oh, ain't nobody raising up their hand now. And you're acting like this? You've condemned me by the word. No. The word has come to bring liberty. To bring freedom. So if the word is there to bring freedom, why don't you accept the word and become free? I'm so happy. Oh, I'm going high. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to try that one again. Says, notice, we have confidence towards God. So, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Wait a minute. You're supposed to be in line with Christ with a confidence that whatsoever you ask of Him, we receive of Him. So everything you ask for, you're supposed to receive. You know what faithless people do? They just don't ask because they didn't know they were going to receive it. But if you know who you are, you ask. Oh, I didn't get it. No, no, no. You didn't have faith. Hallelujah! Anybody want to dance around me? Oh, I'm looking at sons and daughters of God this morning. Afternoon, I know. Don't lose your confidence in me because I said that. I make mistakes. Continuing on. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I'll tell you what. You know what? I can look at a lot of your lives and say, it looks like you're really doing good with those commandments. And it looks like you're really pleasing God with your efforts. When I see Brother Simon work late and then still come and work on Friday night and work till 9 or 10 o'clock. Actually, it was 10, wasn't it? And the whole time I'm saying, before he came, he called me. I said, don't come. When I got there, I said, go ahead and go home, brother. He's still here. I say again, go home, go ahead and go home, brother. He's still here. And he's got to work on Saturday morning. Got some confidence. I got some confidence. I see how you're all looking at me. See, but that's not the only thing I have confidence in. When I see people come faithfully and you intently look at the word when it's preached. Amen. You ain't screaming, you ain't shouting, but you sit there and I can tell that you're interested. Like Sister Joy, look at she's interested. I've had people come in here and preach and they say, I don't know who that blonde sister is, but she's interested. I can tell. Amen. I can tell her that, but not everybody knows. Sorry, just trying to help your confidence with your sister. Amen. But you know what? People see stuff like that. I have confidence in that. She loves God. Oh, come on. You want me to go through the room, don't you? Oh, go on. Me next. But you see, we all have faults. But why can't we just look at the good things about one another? Now, I'm not saying that correction doesn't come, because you can focus so much on love that you'll lose correction. When we let God fall from first love, or let Him fall further away from being first love, the brothers and sisters, we're supposed to jump in and try to help one another. Don't think that correction won't come from the pulpit. It's confidence. We're giving you the word to see, to hopefully, that you will install in us confidence by obedience to that word. Right? Just like, oh, Brother Cam jumped on me about being at church. Wait a minute. So you don't think God wants you in church? That's Brother Cam. Really? But you see, who's telling you that? The devil is. I hear somebody say, they said to me, well, I know you want me at church on so-and-so night, or so-and-so day. It ain't about me. I didn't preach that. Who preached that? Brother Cam. No! You're still missing it! So it come out that a Holy Ghost filled believer will be fighting to get through those doors every time they're open. And all of a sudden it's my desire? It's Brother Cam coming at you because you don't want to be in church? There's nothing greater than being in church. Tell me! Tell me something greater! See, Brother Cam, you see how he is? He really thinks church is that important. Oh, Lord Jesus. We don't know God this much yet. You haven't had access, Christology, and been able to see that God wants you here every time. He wants you happy here every time. He wants you to be in liberty here every time. He wants you to have confidence in His Word every time. He wants you to have joy in the house of God. He wants you to pull on the Word like you actually believe He's here. He wants you to actually think that He is going to visit here. This is the type of God we serve. Oh, Brother Cam, you're trying to build something up. You really have thought that I preach out of my own accord. You see that? Anytime you take that ground. Now, I'm not saying you don't judge that. But you need to understand God. God has a point of view. It comes from His Word. It comes from His pulpit. It comes from His children. And it comes back to the Word. See? And if you had this type of confidence in God and your brothers and sisters, we could come up here and get anything we want. There wouldn't be one thing lacking in this church. I thought about it the other night. I said, man, that stinking devil. I said, I can think of multiple places my body hurts and are hurting right now. Hurting all over the place. I can't play with my boys without getting hurt. And there I am bumming around my shoulder. I said, man, stinking devil. Why am I walking around like a cripple? Bring it on. That's going away in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That elbow, yeah, that's going away too. Amen. Yep. Yep. Nope. No, devil, that's going away too. Mom. Hallelujah. Amen. You know the funny thing about it is? I shook somebody's hand at church like 10, 12 years ago. And she gave me a wart. And every time that wart would get killed, it moved like over here. I don't get it. It's like jumping. I mean, I don't know if it, I'm not a doctor. Anyway. He's moving all over the place. Every time I kill one, the other one would jump right in there. I say, God, what in the world is going on? And the whole time, it's been gone for like a year now. And I ain't even testified about it yet. And I had it for like 8 or 9 years. And just left. And I was sitting there, and I noticed it was gone. Actually, it took me weeks to even know it was gone. It was all gone. Praise God.
Amen.
And I asked God to take it away 8 years ago, 9 years ago, never happened. And I was praying, God, take it away. And then my prayers become few and far between. God, take it away.
Amen.
I started living with it.
Amen.
But God never forgot the first time that I said it. Though I had lost my fervor to watch something leave, I still put in the request. God couldn't get away from that. He had to bring my healing. Oh, hallelujah. You have access to God. You have boldness to God. You have His faith. You are the one, church, that if you ask anything, you'll have it. But what is it? We let Satan destroy our faith. Think, if I had the same faith as John Ryan, I'd be out in the street saying, extra, extra, read all about it. I'm not blind anymore. 2 weeks. 2 weeks after Brother Bram prayed for him, told him he's healed. He went up there three times. Three times. Because he wasn't healed. Brother Bram said, if you believed, you're already healed. So he went off. Started handing the papers out blind again. Extra, extra, read all about it. God's healed me. Hallelujah!
Right.
2 weeks fervently. Goes in the barbershop and they start ripping on him. Hey, I heard you were healed a couple weeks ago and the man can't see nothing. What was it? It was the devil anointing someone to attack the word. And all of a sudden, the word stood to the sea and he said, I can see. But will you allow the devil to destroy your confidence in this word? Whatsoever things you ask for. Doesn't just say money. Doesn't just say healing. Says whatever. God's a whatever God for you. He'd do anything for His bride. Whatever you want from Him, you can have from Him. Getting ready to close. I love God. 1 John 5:14. John just doesn't say this one time. He says it again because this is very important to the John church. The bride church. John 5:14, 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. As we close, the Great Commission 58 says, not be a better, join church, quit your meanness. You can do all of that and still not have eternal life. You can still join church. You can belong to a denomination. You can live just as straight as a die. Those Pharisees did, and Jesus said, you are your father, the devil, see? We're trying to put it on works all the time, something we can do, something we can build. God don't need our building, God needs our soul. And there in that time, that night when I said, let God speak, the one that's God tonight, and in the platform, now that you, I'm doing this, saying this so that you, brethren, would see the confidence you can have in God.
Yes, Lord. Glory.
You can ask Him anything. He did it back there so you would be able to look and say, I can do it here.
Amen.
Well, what do you want from God? Who is this Jesus Christ? Just think. I've got 30 people here that the gates of hell cannot prevail against.
Amen.
Right here. Let's stand.
Yes, Lord. Lord.
Just think. The gates of hell have no power over any of you right now.
Right.
Now, when did Jesus tell this to Peter? Before he even had the Holy Ghost. You can't stop the word. You can't destroy the word. But if you can get it in your head that you lose confidence on this Bible, you don't rely on it, You don't rely on your brothers and sisters as far as making this rapture. Have confidence in them being someone who has found God. You lose complete authority within the body. This is the type of God we serve. This is how He operates. You know now. What will you do with this revelation? Do you need to scream? Do you need to yell? Do you need to run? No. But God's in all that. What do you need to do? You need to believe it. Did the word come forth or did it not? Can I destroy your confidence now? Everything I told you is just a lie. Can I say that? You see? It's that easy. Yeah, what I told you is just wrong. And you sit there and say, whoa, was it? When you heard the word,
amen,
it should stand.
Right. Right.
That's why Paul said, if I come and preach another gospel,
amen,
the guy that delivered it,
amen,
if I come and preach something different, you just stay with what that was.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So who's got access this morning?
Amen.
Who's got authority? Who has exposed the devil in their life? And says, those are my healings. Those are my deliverances. I want them back. I've kind of laid down the charge a little bit. But the word says, I can rely on it. God, I'm coming this morning. God, I'm bringing my confidence in your word. Lord, let your word live. Is that your desire? This ain't church. This is working into eternity. Let's bow our heads. If that's your heart's desire, would you just pray with me now to Him? Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love You, God. We thank You for this morning, Lord. And God, Lord, perhaps, Lord, if it be in your better thought, God, as You delivered this word, we pray, Lord, that this word would just, oh God, so grip our hearts, God. So grip us as Christians of the cross, God. That, Lord, we would say, God, I believe this. It is your word. I see how the devil fights. I see how the devil tries to make me think about brothers and sisters. How it makes me think about this word. But now I know how he does it. Now I see how the Holy Ghost, how it can instill a confidence in me. And that confidence can what bring a boldness up against the devil. God, that's our heart's desire this afternoon, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you just move in our lives, God. Let this word strike home, God. Let it bring forth of its children, God. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, even now, Lord, restore that faith in our life, God. Lord, help us, God, as we fall short so many times. God, we want you, oh God, to be visible and real in our life. Jesus, we just ask you humbly in our hearts, forgive us of our lack of confidence in you and bring forth a perfect confidence that we might destroy the devil. God, how can't we want to destroy him? He is such a weak and lowly, demeaning, wicked thing. How he tries to destroy our love for you, God. How can't we hate that? God, I want my confidence to be restored in you. Restore that confidence in your bride today. We just pray you do it now, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride said together, amen. There it is. If you just agreed with that, hold that confidence. Hold that strength. Hold that heart. Was that prayer in vain? Mine wasn't. God, give me that confidence. Whatsoever I ask, give it to me. Got it. I've got it. I believe it. Let's sing that song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. I can lean on that. I can have confidence in that blood. Amen. Oh, what can wash away my sins?
sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, what can one make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. And no other mount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And for my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And for my cleansing, this I plead, oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Singing, oh, oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow, and no other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Satan take that, take anything from you, amen. And then let's sing that song, "We've Got the Power," in the name of Jesus.
We've got the power.
my way with love, amen, as we're dismissed. Amen. We're going to dismiss on the song. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, amen.